I'd like to go to the first reading for a moment, because the first line of it is, in a sense, rather puzzling. It said, "First the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the end, he has glorified the seaward road, the land west of the Jordan, the district of the Gentiles." What is he talking about? Well, as I mentioned before, after King Solomon, which would have been 900 and some years before Christ, Israel divided into two pieces. There was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom is where Jerusalem is at. And that was the group that remained most faithful to Moses, to the law of Moses, and what had been handed down. The southern kingdom began to gradually fall away. And there's a variety of reasons for that. Now, in the year 722 BC, Assyria came and took over part of that northern kingdom. And it's called Israel, by the way. It took over part of it, and that was the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. And what they did was, they took into exile some of the leading people of that region. And that apparently was a common custom. You know, if you captured a nation or a land, you went and found the talented people, you know, the skilled craftsmen, and you took them home with you where they could be a benefit to your nation. And what happened then was that area was left impoverished for talent, impoverished for leadership. And then gradually, people came in, but they brought with them other religions, worship of other gods. And so, there was darkness in that area. Darkness for what had been taken away from them, but also darkness in the kinds of worship that were introduced there. There were still people who believed in the true God, but they were less in numbers. And gradually their worship became influenced by the worship of other gods. And so we began to get a syncretism going on. Pieces from the Jewish faith, pieces from other worship. And what's interesting is, after the arrest of John the Baptist, Jesus chooses, Jesus chooses to go to this area of darkness. But what does he do? He brings light. It's like where it had been most dark, Jesus comes to bring the light of truth, the light of hope, the light of salvation. Now, interestingly enough, in Matthew's gospel, not only does Jesus begin his ministry there, but at the end of the gospel, remember when he says to the apostles, "Go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit?" He's at that same place when he tells them that. It's like from that place of darkness, light is to spread to the whole world. Now, going back to our gospel today, immediately after that, what does Matthew tell us about? Matthew tells us about Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, encountering Peter and Andrew fishing. And he says to them, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And then he finds James and John a little further along. And he calls them also. And in both cases, Matthew makes a real point saying they left their boats, they left their nets. And in the case of James and John, they left their father and they followed him. Why was that so important for Matthew to point out? Because it's an example for you and I. Have we, in a sense, left everything to follow Jesus? Now, I'm not so sure that Matthew is really saying, you know, we should leave our homes and leave our cars and leave our jobs. Maybe some people are called to that. They are. But most of us, probably not. But there are other things we have to leave. Our self-importance. Our sense that I can do it alone. I don't need a savior. Our selfishness. Our pride. Those are the things that most of us are called to leave. We're called to leave that, to acknowledge that we need someone to raise us up, to fill us with light. Because like the land of Zebulun, like the land of Naphtali, left to ourselves, we are darkness. But if we can allow the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to fill us, then we ourselves are light. That's why I think that line at the end of that opening song caught me so much. We become what we eat. If we open our hearts to Him, if we're humble enough to acknowledge our need for Him, then He can transform us. He can make us into His image. And that's precisely what He wants to do to each and every one of us. Matthew gives us the story of the call of those four apostles. I would like to say that we are called also. We are called to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to give our lives to Him. And I invite you to come to know the Lord Jesus. Read His Word. Listen to His Word. Try to open your hearts to that Word. Acknowledge deep within yourself that you are not your own Savior, that you need someone to raise you up. And I'd like to say that especially to the young people that are here this morning. There is a growing trend, I think, in our nation to say that religion really has nothing to offer. And if you just look at it as organized religion, that's probably true in some sense. But if you come to know the Lord Jesus, He has everything to offer. When people turn away from religion, what do they turn to? And whatever it is they turn to, whether it's wealth or power or success or pleasure, it will all go away. None of it lasts. The one who has life is the one who called those four apostles. If we want life, we must come to know Him. And like those four apostles, in some way, we are called to leave everything to follow Him.